I want to talk about time. I want to speak about time. I want to preach about time tonight. I went up to Paul before the service started. I was going to ask him what he was going to be singing, but I thought, oh, well, I won't do that. I just said to him, I said, I'm going to preach on time tonight. He said, what time's that? You know, what time are we starting? You're going to be just 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, preach on time. Time's a really amazing thing. It sort of eludes us in many ways. It's an elusive thing. And we have the concept in our culture today that time has to do with minutes, hours, days, weeks. And it's time. It beats down. There are two words in the Bible that speak about time. One is chronos, a Greek word that just talks about where we get the word for chronographer or watch from, clock from, that talks about time that is hourly time. And then there's another word called kairos that talks about a special time, a season. Now, I don't want to bore you with any of that sort of stuff, but I do want to have a look at a few things that some people have said. Mark's going to put on a little PowerPoint presentation they put together, just to sort of let you know. Andy Warlow said, they say that time changes things, but you actually have to change them yourself. Benjamin Franklin, if we go on that way, Benjamin Franklin says, dost thou love life, then do not squander time for that stuff life is made of. That's the stuff that life is made of. And Captain Jean-Luc Picard, some of you who watch the Star Trek Generation stuff, he says, time is a companion that goes with us on a journey. It reminds us to cherish each moment because it will never come again. What we leave behind is not as important as how we have lived. Not a bad quote. And then Douglas Adams says, time is an illusion. Lunchtime, doubly so. Pretty profound. Jesse Jackson said, time is neutral and does not change things. With courage and initiative, leaders change things. And Will Rogers says, half our life is spent trying to find something to do with the time we have rushed through life trying to save. And Art Buchwald, whether it's the best of times or the worst of times, it's the only time we've got. And Thoreau says, you cannot kill time without injuring eternity. Amazing thing how we try to kill time sometimes. And you can't turn back the clock, but you can wind it up again. And you're writing the story of your life one moment at a time. And C.S. Lewis said, the future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour, whatever he does, whoever he is. It seems to me that some people accomplish a huge amount in the time that they've got. They seem to have more time than other people have. And some people squander a huge amount of time and they don't seem to have as much time as other people have who seem to get more done and accomplish more. And so time's sort of an elusive thing. I wrote some things down here about time. We think we have it in abundance, but we waste it. When we waste it, we can never get it back. They say that time changes things, but it doesn't. And when you try to save it, we rush and squander life. When we've lived it, we try to remember it. We try to kill time. It's like killing our best friend. You know, I think the closest that the Bible talks about time is like when somebody's put in prison and they call it doing time. There's a whole sequence, there's a whole framework, there's a whole time span that represents them. And when they're incarcerated, they're put in prison, that time span is time spent in prison, they're doing time. In other words, they're not living it anywhere else, they're doing it in a specific way. And I want to say to us today that when the Bible speaks about time, that's the concept of time the Bible speaks about. The Bible is letting us know today that all of us are doing time. You're doing time tonight. I'm doing time. Now, you know, you've heard it said enough from this pulpit that we are spirits having a body experience. And when we become Christians, we have a concept of eternity that transcends time. But until the day that we actually step off this planet, we're all doing time. We've all got the same amount of time. In actual fact, the Bible, when it speaks about time, it doesn't speak about minutes and hours. It speaks about our time span. And so this is an amazing scripture that has really had a bearing on me. Psalm 90, verses 10 to 20, it says this. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. This is a psalmist talking of God, talking about his anger and about the fact that he gets angry and there is something about man while he's living that the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord or the fear of God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he goes on and says something here about wisdom. He says this, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days aright. Teach us to be sober and to discern and to understand and to know our days. And the Bible says, you know, in Hebrews 9, it says that it's appointed unto man to live and then to die, and then comes judgment. You know, we don't like to hear this sort of stuff too much. But it's all within the framework of time, God's appointed time, God's time for you, God's time for me. Our days are numbered by the Lord, the scriptures tell us. Our days are numbered by God. Now, Margaret and I, we've faced the finality within our family last year of two of our loved ones flying away, dying. Their time was up. They stepped off the planet, so to speak. They'd entered into their destiny of eternity. And we're grateful that both of them were Christians and that they're both with the Lord. And so they're in that incredible dimension in the presence of God. But he goes on to says this, relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Now it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, I did some calculations today, taking in all the leap years and everything like that. So up until today, January the 6th, 2008, I have lived 22,236 days upon this earth. Wow, that's a span of time, isn't it? 36 days I've lived. From the day I was born, that's not taking into account my conception, you see, because the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made, but I didn't take that in. But from the day I was born on this planet, from the day I stepped into this planet, into this time frame that God gives to me and to every human being that's ever lived upon the planet, he's given us a time frame. Our days are numbered by the Lord, the Bible says. Your days are. My days are. There just happens to be a sovereign creator, God, who knows everything about your life and everything about my life. He knows every hair on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows when you were born. He knew you in the womb. He knows when you were going to step off of this planet, or as that this psalm says, fly away. He knows us. Some of us seem to have longer time than others. Some of us seem to have more days than others. And it's a hard thing to come to grips with, because there is something about finality for us when we come to the end of our days, when we come to the end of our time. But when you read the Bible, particularly through the Old Testament, the patriarchs of old, they talked a lot about going to rest with their fathers. The fathers had gone before, that they had lived their life, they'd run their course, they'd been in time, they had their span of life, they had their span of days, they lived it. Well, the question that needs to be asked, because this psalm raises it, it talks about the judgment of God and the fear of God, the anger of God, the judgment of God. and the fear of, there is something that God requires about our span, our lifespan. There is something that God requires about your time here on this planet. He requires something of your time because he's given it to you. It's a gift from him. You've come here to inhabit a place. You're doing time with the rest of us. Now, some people, when they're doing their time, they like to kick and punch and fight and scream and scratch and yell and are cantankerous and angry and all the sort of stuff. Some people like to be totally independent of any other person and try to establish themselves sort of like I don't give a hoot about what you think or what you say or who you are. And a lot of young people do that with their parents at times and stuff like that. And we tend to think that we own our own time. We tend to think that my time span, my days, the time that I'm living is mine to do with as I choose and how I want. But the Bible makes it very clear to us that when we live that way, we're going to end it one day. You see, the sobering thing about time is that time shows us our mortality. It shows us we're just flesh. It shows us that we owe our existence somewhere beyond ourselves. It shows us that we live and move and have our being in God, the Bible says. Our breath that we breathe, the blood that pumps through our body, all the stuff about being alive, there is something that is greater than us. It's God. We owe it to him. He's given it to us. It's a gift. Your parents did not give it to you, as much as they were involved in the pleasure of it and in the agony of it and all that. Listen to what the sobering thing that the writer to Ecclesiastes says. He says, for everything there is a season or a time. That's the same word here, that time, that season. For everything there is a time or there is a season. Some translations say time. For a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. That speaks about your life and my life. That speaks about your time and my time. That speaks about what that psalm in Psalm 90 that we read about, it talks about that. It talks about the toil and the frustration, the difficulty that we have in life. Hosea 10:12 says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness or his goodness, his faithfulness, his righteousness on us. It's time to seek the Lord. Now, the amazing thing about the days that we have, we can live them independent from him or we can live them seeking him. We can live them in him. We can live them toward him. We can live them looking to him because he gave it to us. And Hosea says it's time. Hey, it's time. I just think that with the things that we've got coming up over the next month or so, it's time to seek the Lord. Some people have a sort of a mentality. Some PKs, pastors' kids, have a mentality. Of course, not some of our pastors' kids. But we've seen it sort of happened. You know, they're pastors' kids all over here tonight. But they sort of there is a thing, you know. And I've got pastors' kids, and there's sort of a thing that you know, as we grow up as pastors' kids, we grow up sort of with two sort of struggles in us. One is that we see the great things about God in our parents and we see the ordinariness about life in our parents. And we see the struggle. We see what Ecclesiastes is talking about. We see that when we live in this time span on life, It doesn't in any way promise us that it's going to be wonderful, blissful, paradisey, you know, just sort of like, you know, all my way. It doesn't promise that. It just promises the fact that when we live life, it's going to be bloody hard at times. And it's going to be incredibly good at times. You know, there were four times in my life before I was saved that I should have died. I had death experiences. I don't go into them and tell you about them, but they were pretty horrific. I don't know why I didn't die. I guess it was a prelude to me coming in sobriety because I was such an independent, arrogant young man that it was God's way. There were four occurrences that I should have died. And when the last one happened to me, and that one that happened to me was when just the last one, I was at Mount Gambier with a whole group of friends of mine, and you know the lakes at Mount Gambier, and there's one lake called the Leg of Mutton Lake, and we're all blind drunk and was just off of our faces, and we're all part of, you know, we're all surfers and strong swimmers and surf clubs and all that sort of stuff, and somebody dared me to swim across the Leg of Mutton Lake. And it's got signs everywhere, no swimming, danger, no swimming. And so I did. I just took off. And I remember getting out towards the middle of it, and there are reeds that are just so thick in there, and many people have drowned in that lake. And I got there, and these reeds wrapped themselves around me. And I remember at that time, after this, the fourth time, and at that time, I remembered that as I was going down, I cried out to God. I said, God, help me. And the next thing I know, I don't know how it happened. I was blacked out. I've got no idea how it happened. All my mates were back there screaming and yelling and hooting and blowing their horns and carrying on, didn't know what in the heck was going on. But at that point of time, I don't know what happened. But I was on the banks and somebody was giving me mouth-to-mouth pumping water out of me and I was out there and nobody came out to get me. I just don't know how it happened. I just know that God made it clear to me that that was not the end of my time. That was not the end of my season. That was not the end of it. And that was one of the rare times I ever cried out to God before I was saved. And I knew, I had a profound sense in my heart of hearts that somehow God did a miracle and he got me out of that drowning situation onto that shore. I don't know how it happened, and nobody knows how it happened. But it sobered me up pretty quick. It was only a couple of months after that, and I got well and truly saved. Never been to church before in my life, but I got well and truly saved. You see, there is something about our struggle in life. There is something about time. There is something about our days that somehow gets hold of us and we want to clutch hold of it for the best that we can clutch hold of, and we'll drag our fingernails down through the days of time with all the muck and the junk and everything there, grasping hold of something desperately to hang on to our days. Well, the Bible says our days are numbered by the Lord. Bible makes it clear that we cannot add one little minute second to our lifespan by worry. So what's the point of it? Psalm 31, verse 12, 17 says, I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear the slander of many, there is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. This is King David. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. My days are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have cried unto you. And I think that the most incredible thing about time is that time, your time, has signs. Your time has signs. My time has signs. Cherie's times has different signs for mine. Kevin's times have different signs for him. You know, Paul's times have different times for him. And Margaret, my wife, her times have different signs for her than mine. But let me read to you what Jesus said. I just put it in a different translation for what I was going to use, so I'll just read it to you. Matthew 16, he says, one day the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. And he replied, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you do not how to interpret the signs of your times. You do not know how to interpret the signs of your times. Have you ever wondered about the signs of your times? What's happening today in your life? Because what's happening today in your life has got something to do with the signs of your times. They have to do with it because you're not independent from everybody else in this room and wherever we are in this city and in this nation, we're not independent from anybody. But there is something unique about your time. There's something unique about your days. Hannah Willems, her times, she's in pregnancy right now. She's going to have a baby in about 10 weeks. Hey? I'm not. The sign of her times is different from the sign of my times. Some people might think I am, but I'm not. And so every one of us, our signs, our times, have different signs. But that's just a physical thing. But then for every one of us, we have something about the Spirit and the determination of God on our lives that's a designation for him because he fashioned you and he formed you and he brought you forth in the fullness of his time. Jesus, the Bible says, that he came forth in the fullness of time. What that meant was in the fullness of God's time for him to come. They were his times. That was a time, his days. And when you were born and when I was born, 20th of February, 22,000 whatever days ago. Just so you remember my birthday, see? It's coming up. But when I was born on that day, to the parents that I had, they were just the vehicles by through whom I came. And so I was born in the fullness of my time. I remember as a young man that was gung-ho and just trying to wrestle with God's motivation, his gifts on my life. I remember saying often, I feel as though I was a person born outside of time, in the wrong time, misunderstood and different things. I just used to think that was my cop-out, you see. But sometimes we feel that. But I was born. I began my days upon the earth, and there's coming a day when I'll step off the planet, but until that day, these are my days, and I have signs on my life. And I want to ask you this question as we just sort of pull it together here. With your days, with your time that you live, have you discerned your signs? When Jesus came, there are signs in the heavens. I want to tell you something. When you were born, there are signs in the heavens. May not have been the same physical signs that came when Jesus came, but there are signs in the heavens. I tell you one of the signs that happened. You see, one of the signs that happened when you came forth, when you were born, heaven rejoiced over your natural birth. It did because God fashioned you in the womb. And when you came forth as that little infant, he rejoiced over you. There was something he said, wow, it hasn't changed from back in the Garden of Eden. He said, wow, how incredible is this? You know, every father that's seen his child born, I've been there with my children have been born, and you say, wow, incredible miracle. Paul will see that. I hope, as he faints. What an incredible miracle. And God does that. And there is something about God in your life, in your time, when it came forth in the fullness of time. And he says, I have purpose and destiny and a plan for you. And there is a thief that's come to rob and kill and destroy that plan that I've got for you, for your time, and to make it as hellish as he can make it. But that's okay. Because I've appointed you a time. And when you go through it, you'll find when I went through and I started to realize my life, there are seasons in my life that have been incredibly filled with anguish. Incredibly filled with sadness. Incredibly filled with difficulty. There have been times in my life, where seasons in my life, where I've just been obstinate and not heard from God, and I've just stuffed up time and time again. And I've just yielded to this thief and allowed him to do his dirty work. And yet back in the back of my brain, in the back of my mind, in the back of, even before I was a Christian, there was something in the back of me that I knew that I was here for a reason. And every human being knows that. You know that tonight. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you know it. But have you discerned your times? Have you discerned your times? And a lot of people today live their times, their season, purely from their forefathers. The sins visited through the generations live the same way dad and mum lived. Think the same way mum and dad thought. They thought the same way that their parents thought. Did the same sort of stuff that their parents thought. Eat the same sort of foods that they wore. And we wonder why they had a whole lot of sickness in their family. And now I've got it in my family. It's gone through the generations because we've always done what our forefathers have done. And eaten the same sort of foods and done the same sort of thing. And you know, lived in the same sort of places and all that sort of stuff. I look at Paul Wellham. I knew his dad at his age. Pretty much, just a bit young, a bit old. Paul, his dad looked like him. I can tell you. Hard to believe, isn't it? Oh, what a destiny you've got, Paul. But some of us just live out of our naturalness. We know we're alive, we've got stuff and everything like that, and we just purely live out of our naturalness, and we don't see the signs of our times. I want you to stand with me, will you? You've got time tonight. You're doing time. Some of it's hard, some of it's good, some of it's filled with great joy, some of it's very difficult. We haven't had to live where our fathers lived, where my father's lives, where most of your grandparents lived, full in a war and the horrors of it and stuff. Mostly when people go through difficult times and hard times and seasons, they find it difficult to recover from that instead of looking for the sign of their times. When we read the Bible discerningly, we see that there is an incredible thing within the Bible that talks about the difficulty of the men and women of faith of their times. But there was something that identified them and made them to be great people of faith. It was that they discerned their signs. They discerned their signs. They discerned their signs. Today you may never have come to a place where you've entered into the destiny of knowing God's forgiveness. And you may still have tonight a fear that one day when you do die, you're going to face judgment. For it is appointed unto man to live, and then to die, and then comes judgment. You may have that sense in your heart. And so tonight, that can be alleviated, and you can find the signs. That is a sign from God. That's a sign. Fear of death is a sign from God. It's a sign that you need his forgiveness. You need to come alive. You need to be born again. You need his spirit. You need something bigger than you. And it's God. And then there are others of us here tonight that we know in the depth of our being that we have an arena. We have our life, our time, our season on this planet is meant to be more than what we are presently experiencing and encountering. So I was talking with a young man today who told me that he's going to be preaching soon. And something in my heart just leapt for joy because I know, because God spoke to me about a sign of his times, that he's meant to be a preacher. Something happens. Have you sought and have you embraced, have you seen what the sign of your time is? and what it is right now. Let's bow and pray. Father, as we bow before you today, this night we ask you, help us to see, to discern, to know our signs, the signs of our times. Not, Lord, what's happening out there in the world scene, but here right now inside of us, inside of me. We don't want to be like the people that Jesus spoke of who can predict the weather. Because so often, Jesus, we live like that. Our lives are lived where we predict what tomorrow is going to be. Tomorrow we're going to go and watch the footy. Tomorrow we're going to go to the soccer. Tomorrow we're going to go to the beach. Tomorrow we're going to do this. Tomorrow we're going to do that. And yet, Jesus, you said we shouldn't say, tomorrow we're going to go and do this and that. We should say, if the Lord wills, we will. And Jesus, we don't want to just simply like look at our lives by our self-determination. We want to look at it from your signs. Your signs. Your signs. I believe, Father, tonight that every individual person in this room is destined for greatness, is destined for a season, is destined to make a mark, is here alive, not just simply to fill space, not just simply to let it happen around them, but are here because you've destined it for them. And when the day that they were born, you rejoiced over them, tonight may they see you rejoicing over them. May they see tonight, Father, that they have a destiny in you, and they want to see the signs of what that is. And so tonight I pray that there would come something rising within each one of us, a dimension of faith that will embrace who you declare we